There you go. Miss Frizzle.
Guys, I have an important question.
Sure.
What is the Avatar state? Welcome to Things That Got Wrong, your general trivia podcast with a healthy dose of internet and media things. I'm Ryan Bott.
I'm Rachel Miller.
I'm Stuart Hopkins.
And I'm Mark Spirek. And we learned Stu cannot be the drummer of our band.
No.
I have no tempo.
Your rhythm is all off.
Yeah.
Unlike George Michael from Arrested Development, who has impeccable tempo.
Unlike George Michael from George Michael, who also maybe has
impeccable tempo.
Yes.
He's got a lot of swing to it. Stu's just a loose and jazzy guy. One, two, three. Go.
Keeping me on my toes.
I never took good music classes. I never learned how to read music. I was super slow at it. So I don't know.
You ever play the recorder?
No, actually.
Or at your school didn't have here's this stupid semi-flute thing.
Nope.
Put your fingers in the holes and figure it out.
It's either that my class didn't do it, or my mom didn't sign the form to get me one because she's like, I've done this 7 times before, I'm not doing it an 8th.
Yeah, I'm like half convinced they were built to torture parents.
Because
if you can't play it, the only sound that comes off is a high-pitched one meant to blow out your eardrums.
Oh yeah,
right. I mean, I think that's called a drum set as well.
Oh yeah, but generally they don't send drum sets home with you from school.
It was the only time I legitimately got in trouble, or at least had my parents mad at me, is when I was trying to play drums.
Yeah, that would do it.
Stop exploring music, Ryan.
I know.
The noise.
Explore quiet music.
It's actually really cool. My neighbor next door to me, he was like, so he came over to the fence and was like, hey, Stu, I just wanted to let you know that, you know, some people, they buy a fancy sports car or a boat when they have a midnight crisis. And he's like, I bought drums. So heads up. But I can hear him. And he's really good. Out of nowhere, from just never playing before, he's really good. That's kind of cool.
So you're telling me you have your own pandemic drummer?
I do. It's kind of nice. His daughter.
My dad
plays.
Bought a tractor for his midlife crisis.
That's more in line with me. Yeah, that's way more in line with me.
I think my dad got really into board games.
Ooh, hence the trivia and board game fanaticism.
Yeah, there's some of that there.
not a bad thing.
I don't know, you play, or you have a guitar. I don't know if you play it, but
I don't play it well, but I have one. Yeah, okay. I have a full electronic keyboard and stuff too. I had drums at one point in my life and a bass and a couple of other things, but I cycled through them pretty quickly.
You need to be a one man band, strap cymbals to your knees.
Yeah.
And then you have to have that thing that holds the harmonica in front of your mouth.
I'll just whistle.
Rachel. And you have.
No, you continue. We'll follow up.
No, let's see. You get the idea.
there's an old Old Spice commercial with Terry Crews where his entire body is connected to electrodes that all play different music, and I think it's obviously staged, but he's just sitting there and you see him biceps out ready to go, and you just hear him go muscle, muscle, muscle. Flex and chimes awesome. And drum beats and everything are going off, and then he starts playing a flaming saxophone. And when I think of one man band, I think of Stu without his shirt on, connected to electrodes.
Oh, good.
I think about that a lot too, for some reason.
Jesus Christ! Why?
You're the only one in this group who has the positivity of Terry Crews and the muscles of Terry Crews.
I don't think I have Terry Crews muscles.
Not with that.
But I'll take it.
You gotta beat to the sound of your own drum.
Flex.
Flex. Well, we can flex some more today because this is the 48th ever episode.
Speaking of midlife crises,
right? We're about to buy a drum set.
No, you're not.
We are about to have a round robin game, so maybe that's similar. But we're all us have a round for the other three to answer, where we will vie for all the musical notation in the world. And we will start, as we always start with round robins, with Stu's round.
Thank you. I have a round, and it is a most excellent round. You guessed it, it's egg-themed. Why? I have no idea, but I'm going to ask questions around the topic.
Because I love eggs, sponsored by the Egg Council.
I'm going to be completely honest with you.
The incredible edible egg.
I woke up at like 3 a.m. a couple of nights ago and was like, yep, it's got to be egg themed. And like, I have a shittily scribbled note in my phone of like, make trivia round about eggs. And like, so that's, I felt like I had to do it now. I owed it to myself.
So you're telling me I'm not getting money from the Egg Council? Because I would love that.
You might.
Eggs are good for you.
They are
good. Don't worry about the cholesterol. They're good for you.
That's fine.
Anyway, I made a website for the Egg Council one, so I did get paid by them.
Did you really?
I did, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, so this round is basically going to be general trivia, but egg-themed, or at least kind of, you know, loosely around there. Each question is worth 2 points. Shout out when you know it. I don't have the buzzer going, so we're just going to do the normal audio way. If you don't get it on the first round, then you know you get a second clue. It's worth 1 point. Question number one: how do you want your eggs? There are many ways to cook an egg. Name 6 of them.
Mark. Scrambled.
1.
Sunny side up.
Okay.
Over easy.
Uh-huh.
Poached.
Yep.
How many did you say?
A lot. I need 6.
You're okay, I need 2 more.
Yep.
Deep fried.
Rachel.
Wait,
you're out. Rachel's turn.
Scrambled.
Okay.
Sunny side up. Over easy. Hard boiled. Poached. Soft boiled.
Nice.
Deviled eggs.
Yeah,
that salad.
I think you got it.
I'll keep.
I had like 13 of them listed.
Read them all.
Hard boiled, scrambled, soft boiled, over easy, sunny side up, over medium, over hard, poached, basted, deviled, Benedict, omelet, shirred, which is like baked eggs, and in a frittata. That's all the ones I could find through like copious Google searches about how to cook eggs. So
okay, important scoring note. Does she get 1 point or 2 points? Because she used half of my answers.
That's true, but I mean, I'm going to give her 2 points because, I mean, she was the one who finished the question.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to say one of my questions is exactly the same format as yours, which is name 5 things.
Oh,
and wow. It's going to be a different scoring system.
Okay.
Enjoy that, Ryan.
That is 2 points to Rachel, and we're on to question number 2. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, a classic tale that dates back before the 1800s. But Humpty Dumpty wasn't depicted as an egg until Lewis Carroll illustrated him in what book?
Rachel. Is it Through the Looking Glass?
It is Through the Looking Glass, published in 1871. There's no previous record of Humpty Dumpty ever being an egg until he just like drew him like that.
Right, what would he be that he needed to be put together again?
I have no idea.
Or, like, I'd be curious to know, like, well, what is it? It's been around, that rhyme has been around forever, like you said. What were people imagining that it would be?
I have no idea. I mean, it might just be a person.
I always thought it was like a porcelain figure.
Oh. That could have been it, too. Regardless, that is... 2 points to Rachel there.
So, like, would Humpty Dumpty hatch into a chicken one day? Or
no.
Is it
I don't think he is ever realized.
Would it go bad? Would he go bad when he stays out too long?
I mean,
there's a lot of questions I have now that Lewis Carroll drew him as an egg. It makes no sense.
Right. Do you keep him in the refrigerator? Do you keep him on the counter?
Yeah, it depends if you're in Europe or not.
Right. It's a whole mess.
Yeah, and if you're in Canada, they put milk in a bag. Like a crazy person.
Like crazy people.
This is how we get hate mail from Canada. Right, I was gonna say, how it starts.
This is not how we roll.
Canada, for the record, I love you.
Question number three. We all know the famous question of which came first, the chicken or the egg. But do you know where chickens originated from?
Mark. Dinosaurs.
No, I mean country of origin. I'm sorry.
Dinosaurs.
Country of origin.
Everywhere. Dinosaurs.
Country of origin. Where were they believed to be first domesticated at?
Oh, that's a different question.
If nobody gets it, I'll give you
Mark.
Mark.
Rome?
No. They originally didn't lay eggs year-round, but would only lay eggs in the springtime when there was an explosion of locust and other insects, as well as bamboo shoots.
Mark.
Rachel.
I mean, Mark has technically already guessed twice.
Dinosaur didn't count.
Rachel.
China?
Southeast Asia, yeah. I'll give you a point for that. They were originally domesticated there, apparently, and that they were shipped out from there.
They're dinosaurs.
They are dinosaurs. Closest living relative. It's 1 point to Rachel, and we're on to question number four. Only 57 of these are still around today. They're some of the most sought-after, expensive
Rachel.
Money can buy. Rachel.
They're Fabergé eggs.
That is correct.
They're absolutely stunningly beautiful.
They are, right. They were crafted in Russia during the late 1800s to the early 1920s for the royalty, and a few were actually commissioned by extremely wealthy individuals. Highly sought after.
When you get a Fabergé, what do you do with it? Do you sit on it?
It's a knick-knack.
A knick-knack. The most expensive knick-knack you can buy.
That's exactly what it is.
For the record, I would sit on it, and I would be, I'd be in like the Elton John costume when he was like the chicken.
That's the most expensive thing you can sit on.
And then I play Crocodile Rock on the piano because I can.
All right, that's 2 points to Rachel. We're on to question number five. According to studies, around 200 to 500 years ago, a virus spread throughout South America, infecting chickens. The result was a genetic mutation with breeds that then produced this color egg, which is now highly sought after.
Rachel. Green?
That is not green.
Mark. Blue?
It is blue. Yeah, apparently, like, that's a real thing. And they're
being blue eggs, like robin's eggs are blue, right?
Robin's eggs are blue, yeah, but like this is like a, you know, it's basically like a pretty solidly tinted blue of a normal chicken egg. But apparently people swear by them that they're like better tasting, but really there's no actual difference.
Like brown eggs versus white eggs, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're just different from different breeds of chicken, right?
Yeah, there is no difference between, like, any of it. You know, there's going to be a difference between, like, your chicken's diet, right? But, like, right. As far as, like, different colors.
The shell color.
Fun fact, there's actually a few people that have given chickens a select diet of, like, red peppers of different kinds, and it actually turns their egg yolks, like, a dark red. And then they serve them in restaurants for like super high end, you know, fancy looking eggs, which is kind of crazy to look in. You should Google it sometime.
It's very interesting. So you can fake like being a very healthy egg yolk by just
kind of
eating at red things, feeding at Twizzlers all day.
I mean, it's so distinct that you'd look at it and be like, if you didn't know that it was fed a diet of like red peppers and things, you'd probably think that there was something seriously wrong with it. But it looks cool.
But they're not spicy.
They're not spicy, no.
They just look like...
It's 2 points to Mark. And question number six, the final question of the round. Speaking of blue, our favorite blue hedgehog has many rivals, yeah. But only one has his doctorate.
Ryan.
What is his name? Ryan.
Mark.
He's got
Executor?
No!
No, Mark!
Mark!
Dr. Eggman, a.k.a. Dr. Robotnik?
That is correct, yes. Dr. Ivo Eggman Robotnik. Fun
so
fact.
Disappointed. I've never been more disappointed in you, Ryan.
I know. Sonic's our mascot, man. Like,
oh, gotta go fast.
Gotta go fast.
I overthought
The official movie selection of things like that. That's another watch along we have to do.
Yes, it is. We have to do that. Dr. Robotnik was his name in the original English debut, but in his Japanese debut, he was Dr. Eggman.
That's
right. And then eventually there was an English debut that merged the both of them to where he's referred to as both, or Eggman-Robotnik. And that's been his name ever since.
That's what I couldn't figure like out.
Yeah, it's literally because he's shaped like an egg. Like, that's...
like Pac-Man. So Pac-Man was Puck-Man, but they didn't want that in American arcades because it's easily changed to...
Right, the F-word.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
I knew that. I was just thinking in my head. I was like,
get out of your head, man.
I was trying to pull in the word to tie it in, and it totally botched it.
That's okay. Alrighty, that ends the round. And that was 2 points to Mark for question number 6. Mark has 4. Rachel has 7. Knocking it out of the park.
An excellent turnout on that.
It was.
Okay, guys. It's my turn. So I went a little bit meta. And my topic is things they got wrong. So this is things that people really screwed up.
Oh, when they
and
like
cost them a lot of money.
Oh, is this like a Darwin Prize situation?
Not really. Think like on a larger scale. So I'm going to give you like the facts, tell you the story, tell you what happened. And then at the end, I'm going to ask you for a fact about it. It might be a place. It could be a company. It could be a year.
Cool.
Because of the amount of facts I am going to ask you guys.
Could be a breed of chicken. Could be a type of egg.
Could be. You know, you never know. Because there are a lot of facts in these ones, I'm going to ask you guys to wait to buzz in until I finish reading the question.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. I'm not good at that.
Well, if you call in before I finish reading the question, I'm going to ignore you.
10-4.
Question number 1. This French company screwed up the purchase of 2,000 trains in 2014 at a cost of 50 million euros on top of the 15 billion they had spent on the trains. The problem? Many of their platforms were too narrow to fit the new trains. So name that company.
It's some French word. It's train.
I'll give you
French.
A hint.
Hey, Google.
It's not a word. It's an acronym.
It's an acronym.
So this one was a little more difficult.
The French Choo-Choo Consortium.
Choo-Choo Consortium?
Stu, do you have a guess?
I have no idea, to be honest. I can't get like the Louvre out of my head just because like to me that sounds like transit. I don't know.
Okay.
You gotta
this
move
was the hardest
like
one. This is the SNCF.
Of course.
It is one of the largest train companies in Europe, which is why I chose that as the fact. Okay. So speaking of French, a new building at 20 French Church Street in this city had to shell out several million dollars to fix an issue created by its architectural design that melted cars parked nearby top of paying the owners to fix their cars. Name that city.
Mark.
Go ahead, Mark.
It's London.
That is correct.
The reflection that was like so bright it was actually
magnifying the sunlight.
Yeah, it's the building.
That is correct. I think they called it like the walkie-talkie or something. So it was just like the architectural design totally unplanned for. It basically was like a magnifying glass on an ant and was just melting cars.
Could you imagine? Like you just get out of work and you're like, Are you kidding me?
My car melted.
My insurance doesn't cover melting.
Right. Like, I wonder if like it was a like a line that just like melted like halfway through the car, or
like
if
a
it
was, laser like, beam
it just heated up the whole. Yeah, like was this like a laser precision?
It's not a Dr. Evil building with laser beams. That would be amazing.
So the car just melted like gummy bears. Like,
boy. When I was reading it, it was mostly like it was the side of the car that was facing the building. It was like anything plastic, kind of meant it was kind of almost like it had like kind of like slumped
the steel in a car. How that would be so hot to like, yeah,
yeah.
So I saw one of the pictures and it was like it had like a plastic like mirror on the side. It was like it was kind of like slumped to the side, almost like he like wax up just a little bit.
I'm sure it was some small London city car that's made entirely of recycled plastic, so it just melted like a gummy bear, as you said.
It was a Jaguar.
It was a Jaguar.
Yeah, like I said.
So 2 points to Mark there. This one is actually pretty famous. In 1999, NASA contracted with a well-known governmental contractor to design, build, and launch an $125 million satellite meant to orbit Mars. Due to a communication breakdown on the subject of measurements for coordinates, NASA uses metric and the contractor used imperial. The satellite missed the planned destination and burned up in Mars's atmosphere. Can you name the contractor?
Mark.
Go ahead, Mark.
I think it was Lockheed.
That is correct. 2 points to Mark. Jeez. This is the one you hear the joke about the making sure you guys know what you're measuring in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. $125 million. And there that's just the satellite. We didn't even talk about any of the launch process. Any of that.
Yeah.
That's where that old phrase comes from. Shoot for the moon. Even if you miss, you'll still end up in the stars. Or somewhere in Mars's atmosphere.
You'll smash your entire satellite into Mars.
Okay. Question number 4. The Prince William Sound was hit with one of the worst oil spills in history when the Exxon Valdez ran aground due to the negligence of the captain, who was intoxicated. 11 million gallons of oil spilled, Ryan. Which affected 1,300 miles of the Alaskan coast. The cost of cleaning up the spill, paying fines, and dealing with the legal results from it added up to more than $7 billion. What year was Exxon Valdez?
Oh, God.
Mark.
Go ahead, Stu.
2004?
No.
Mark.
Go ahead.
97?
No.
Ryan.
Go ahead, Ryan.
98.
You guys are all off by a pretty far amount. Exxon Valdez was in 1989.
It was way earlier.
I was thinking the Gulf of Mexico. Yeah, there's so many oil spills.
Right, I was going to say, like, I feel like I see
them. They all blend together.
I think Deepwater Horizon was in 2013.
Yeah.
Great, no points to anyone.
Great Mark Wahlberg movie, I'll tell you that.
Never heard that phrase before. question number 5. In 2009, the world was shocked by the revelations of this person's affairs. Subsequently, his image and reputation took a hard hit.
Right.
His ex-wife was granted more than $750 million in a divorce. By some estimates, the fallout from endorsement deals being canceled by the likes of Nike and Gatorade may have cost him up to $12 billion.
Right.
Dude.
I'm not finished with my question.
Oh, there's
my
God. So many people.
I need to know when you're done.
Who is this person?
Ryan.
Go ahead, Ryan.
Tiger Woods.
Yes.
Man, I
if
knew
you didn't
that
notice,
one.
I've been asking the question at the end. Question number 6. Mercedes-Benz merged with this company in 1998 for a reported cost of about $37 billion. Unfortunately, it was not meant to be. After reported culture clashes and a nosedive in values and reputation, Mercedes-Benz sold this new acquisition for $7 billion in 2007 to a company with a reputation for resurrecting failing companies. Who did Mercedes-Benz buy?
Stu.
Go ahead, Stu.
Volkswagen?
No.
Mark.
Go ahead.
Aston Martin?
No. Ryan, do you have a guess?
I should. We went to that museum.
We did go to the museum. But I don't think I saw anything in the museum about this. Sorry to disappoint.
They have an exhibit about the thing that they sold?
Nope.
Crack is due up today.
Okay, go ahead, Ryan.
I don't know, Ferrari.
Okay, I'll give you guys one clue. This is an American company, a staple out of Detroit.
Ryan.
Stu.
Okay, go ahead, Ryan.
Ford. I don't think that does make sense either.
Stu.
Grand Am.
No.
Really?
Mark, do you have a guess?
Oh, God. No, sorry. I know what the name of it. God.
GM?
Car company.
Yeah, GM is General Motors is a car company.
Oh, General Motors. Sorry.
Not your thing, the
specific ones.
Yeah, I'll take a General Mills.
Captain Crunch is running a Mercedes over there.
I'm sorry that to disappoint you guys.
Chevrolet. Wait,
can I guess what
Chrysler.
It is?
Is it Chrysler? Yes,
you can go.
Is it Pontiac?
No.
Okay.
You guys eventually got to it. It is Chrysler.
Aha.
Oh.
However, no points to that because you took 40,000
guesses
to get there.
Yeah, I took naming all the American car companies that aren't Tesla until we got to Chrysler.
Yeah. So
I just remember there's an amazing SNL skit with Bill Hader about Chrysler, and it's the fourth quarter following the Super Bowl.
Well, this was my round about what is that quote? I took a calculated guess, but boy, am I bad at math. Of all the, oh gosh, that was a bad choice. I got that wrong. So now at halftime, Ryan, where are our scores at?
Question number 7 is the three of us going into that round.
that was the fun part of that round.
I have Rachel still on top with 7, Mark with 6, myself with 2, 1 foot out of the fort, Stu still holding down the fort.
It's just comfy here.
With vigor.
You doing renovations?
Yeah. You guys can't see them, though.
Does it have running water yet?
Yeah. Okay. Maybe it's got a Yuletide log in the fire.
Yeah.
Wait, it's how all exciting.
I know, but it's like 90 degrees out.
Yeah, it's just cozy. Don't worry
about it. Okay, cozy places. All right, it's my turn, I think. So, all right. So like I mentioned last episode, I hope you all studied up because this is about human spaceflight. In honor of Bob and Doug going up to the ISS, I wanted to look back on human spaceflight as a big thing that will one day be trivia. And we all know it right now, so that's not a good question. But of previous human spaceflight achievements. So here we go. So this one's the question that's like yours, too. There were 5 space shuttles built to be capable of orbital operations. What were their names? And the scoring I'm going to do is I'm just going to have half a point per name.
Rachel.
Ryan.
Rachel.
There was the Apollo missions. There were Columbia.
Names of space shuttles.
Oh, God.
Okay, Columbia and Challenger.
Yes.
And aside from that, I don't know which ones are the missions, but I'll take my half points.
All right, so that's 1 point for you. So there's 3 more.
Ryan. Sorry, was this going to space or landing on the moon?
No, these are names of all the space shuttles that have been into space.
Of the shuttles?
Yes.
Gemini?
Nope.
All right.
Stu, you got any?
I got nothing.
Really?
Yeah, I know stuff about space. I don't know stuff about like humans going to space.
Magic School Bus.
There you go. Miss Frizzle.
All right. She was very not good at protecting those children. She put them in very bad situations where they could have died.
No OSHA compliance at all.
No OSHA compliance. Okay. So I'm very disappointed in all of you except Rachel. So yes, the names of these space shuttles, there were 5 of them. They were in service for 20 years going into space. The names were Columbia, Challenger, Discovery, Atlantis, and Endeavor.
Oh, I couldn't remember if Endeavor was a satellite or a shuttle, so I erred on the side of caution. Yeah.
So fun fact with Endeavor is spelled like the, not like to Endeavor. It's spelled with the U, like the naval ship Endeavor.
Huh.
And it also is the name that Bob and Doug gave to their space capsule because they both flew on Endeavor, the space shuttle.
That's cool.
So the Dragon space capsule right now is named Endeavor. So 1 point to Rachel for that round. Thankfully, no half points.
This might be another question, but
yeah.
Speaking to the Bob and Doug, what was the name of the booster rocket? Like, P.S. I love you.
Oh, no. So there's two the autonomous drone ships. One of them is called Of Course I Still Love You.
Oh, that's and, the landing.
One of the other ones is called Just Read the Instructions. Those are references, I think, to Arthur C. Clarke books.
I can't remember. I knew they said it. They were references to something, but it is funny when they're like doing official, you know, space instructions and they're like, okay, check off. Okay, here we go. You know, like 10-4 yeah. to,
Of course I still love you.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, it's very an Elon Musk-y. Oh, it's okay. So their names in honor of sci-fi author Ian M. Banks.
Oh,
so it's very Elon Musk. Very Elon Musk to have obscure references to things. Okay, so next question. After retirement of the space shuttle and prior to Crew Dragon that just went up, astronauts were delivered to the ISS using this Russian spacecraft. What is its name? Over the last 10 years, every astronaut going to the International Space Station was delivered in this thing.
There are two space-related words that I can think of that are Russian, and neither of these are it.
Not Sputnik. Oh,
not Sputnik.
I can't say it right.
I mean, if you get close, I'll give you the...
Like the Soyuz?
Yes, that's exactly right, Stu.
Okay, cool.
2 points, Stu. Soyuz space capsule, correct. So right now there is a Soyuz and a Crew Dragon docked to the International Space Station.
Yeah.
Cool.
But yeah, there's a if you ever see them launch, which I did, it's funny because they launch from Kazakhstan, which is very interesting, but it's like as compared to the Crew Dragon, it's like so cramped, and it's like technology from like the 70s, right? So like it works, they don't change it, right? And they have the guy, like, he has like a big telescoping like pointer stick to flip the switches. It's really funny. Like, this is extremely Russian and I love it.
What if he drops it?
I don't know. There's probably a backup. He probably has a backup stick.
What if he drops the backup stick?
I don't know. Maybe the co-pilot has a stick. I don't know.
There can't be that many sticks. We dropped the sticks.
Half the cargo is sticks. Oh my God. All right, let's go. Next question. The Kennedy Space Center, where NASA rockets are often launched, is located in Florida. The Johnson Space Center.
Ryan.
Rachel.
It's located in this state.
Texas.
Texas is correct. 2 points to Ryan. So that's where Mission Control is for ISS. And
cool.
But launching in Kennedy, Mission Control in Houston, that's usually where the astronauts, I think, train and live also.
So really cool, fun space fact. So after everything terrible happened, you know, with Challenger and whatnot, they, you know, in honor of like doing education in to all of this stuff, they establish a few different like what are called Challenger space centers around the country, and they're for kids. And I did several summers in a row, like two month long summer camps. And basically what they've done is they put a lot of money into making like replicas of Mission Control and of like the ISS and stuff. And and so what they have kids doing is like they'll teach you math and stuff and all of that, and then you get assigned a position in Mission Control or up on the ISS, and you're doing missions. Whoa. Like kind of that are like simplified versions of the things that they're doing, and it's really really cool.
That's awesome. Like,
real life. That's Avengers really cool. Game.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was really awesome. Like. Just kind of like that cool thing of like, it was a really cool way to get kids interested in like some really hard math and science.
Yeah,
that is really cool.
Nice. Question number 4. As we know from a previous question from Ryan, the first human to orbit the Earth was Yuri Gagarin, but who was the first American?
Ryan. John Glenn.
John Glenn is correct.
Yeah.
Points.
I had Yuri in my back pocket too.
Yeah.
That's a small person. Fits in your pocket.
Pocket dimension.
They're smaller in space.
You actually get taller because there's no gravity.
That's true.
We're keeping us down. Keeping us down, man.
Big gravity.
Big gravity.
I'm going to, you know, one day when I'm very rich and very famous, I'm going to have a space flight thing, and it's all going to be for everyone under 5'5". And it's like, it's going to be like, make short people tall. I'm about that.
I think there was a torture device that did something similar.
Yeah, there's devices. You can get procedures. All right, question number 5. What does the first A in NASA stand for?
Ryan.
Stu.
Ryan.
Rachel.
Aeronautic.
I'll give it to you. It's aeronautics.
Aeronautics.
National Aeronautics and Space Association. 2 points to Ryan. Question number 6. What planetary name was given to the first U.S. manned spaceflight program preceding Gemini and Apollo?
Rachel?
Rachel.
Mercury?
Mercury is correct.
Oh.
2 points to Rachel. Going to Mercury, Gemini, Apollo. That is it for my round.
Nice.
What are the scores,
Ryan? That's great.
Yeah, thank you.
I have the scores at Stu with 2 points, 1 foot out of the fort, and a very close Mark with 6 points, myself with 8 points, Rachel with 9 points. It seems that there will not be a win for me again.
But
not that there would be, because this is probably a fairly easy round, but a fun one nonetheless. My round is all about Nickelodeon.
Oh, man.
God.
Stepping up to the plate here.
I'll take my bow out now.
6 questions, mostly about Nickelodeon shows, but also some other fun stuff. 2 points for each correct answer. There are a couple. The last 2 questions have some of our other formats, so I'll get to those. Some guessing and some keyword countdown style. But I'll start with question number 1. A portmanteau of nickel, as in the cost of entrance, and Odeon, which is Greek for roofed over, a Nickelodeon was a physical space that rose in popularity in the early 1900s as what kind of establishment?
Mark.
Rachel?
I don't know who I heard first. I think Mark and Stu were just about tied, and Rachel was a tad after
Boo.
That. Both of you lock in your answers.
Okay, we're staying at the same time.
For scissors, shoot.
Both of you go.
Theaters.
I was going to say movie theater.
Yeah. All right. I'll give you each 2 points.
Ooh. Look at that.
A generous god, Ryan.
Yeah, a Nickelodeon is essentially another name for a movie theater.
Yeah, I feel like I learned that like 3 days ago.
Oh, really?
I was like watching something.
I've known that since I was a kid. I remember it being a part of like a history book that somebody was like, yeah, like there was like a quote of a guy like, oh, we went down to the Nickelodeon. And I was like, what the hell? Like, what?
You're like, that's where that comes from. It's not a nonsense word.
Right.
Nickelodeon. All right. So yeah, 2 points to both of you there. Question number 2. The theme song for the show All That was sung by what No Scrubs 90s trio?
Mark.
Rachel.
Mark.
TLC.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a guy he thinks he's fine.
TLC. Nice job there. Question number 3.
All right, go. Sorry, go ahead.
What food name shares its name with Doug's funny pet dog?
Stu.
Show Doug. Stu.
Pork chop.
Yeah.
I did not like Doug. But
really?
I remember that. Yeah, it was not, I don't know, it was dry for me. Like, it just, it's not my favorite.
Needed some patty mayonnaise on there.
Ryan, did you just endorse mayonnaise?
Patty mayonnaise.
Patty mayonnaise.
I like Skeeter.
I was going to say, Skeeter was probably my favorite part of the show, yeah.
You should have watched the beats more often. You'd be on your drum beat.
That's why.
All right. Pork chop. I also made sure to write Doug's funny, as in his last name, funny pet dog.
Oh, we got it.
So things you don't see. All right. Question number 4. What Nickelodeon character has the
catchphrase, or has the iconic catchphrase, a baby's got to do what a baby
Mark
do. Stu.
Tommy Pickles.
Tommy Pickles. I assumed I was just throwing points at Stu's way there, but I had to have a Rugrats question in there.
Thanks.
To be fair, it was one of the tougher ones I felt like I could come up with outside of Reptar or something else.
Yeah.
All right. Question number five. This is going to be keyword countdown style. So I'm going to go through 10 items, and you have to tell me what Nickelodeon character this is referring to. Survival skills. Bodybuilding. Guitar. Science. Lasso. Math. Holding breath. Karate. Texas.
Stu. Oh man, I should not have taken that long.
Stu.
Sandy Cheeks.
That's Sandy Cheeks.
I thought Mermaid Man for some reason for a moment, and I got really thrown off.
I'll give you 1 point. I was on the Nigel Thornberry for a while.
I did go through the Thornberries for a moment. Yeah.
Actually, no. Stu gets 2 points there because you get 1 point if you hit all the way to the end.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, there's a few there, but I was trying to come up with a good SpongeBob one that was a little more obscure. Yeah. So I found some good keyword countdown. But these are all attributes and things associated with Sandy Cheeks: survival skills, bodybuilding, guitar, science, lasso, math, holding breath, karate, Texas, and jellyfishing. So 2 points to Stu there. Question number six, last question of the game. This will be a round robin, so everyone lock in with an answer. How many times does Aang enter the Avatar state throughout the entire course of the show Avatar: The Last Airbender? This is just The Last Airbender. This isn't Korra. Okay. How many times does Aang enter the Avatar state throughout the whole show? Rachel.
15.
Stu.
8.
Mark.
5.
It is exactly 5.
Whoa.
I got an extra point.
You do.
For the rules.
Give you an extra point there. Nice job. So
I pulled that out of my butt. I've never seen Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Oh man, you're missing out. It's so good.
I'm saving up for the retirement home.
It's on Netflix. Go watch it.
Is that really right?
I mean, I guess so.
According to this, so I have it. I have them listed. So there's the first. Let me see.
All right, go ahead.
Now, here's what I have. Feel free to refute it. I love Avatar, so I'm happy to talk about it. It's when he first discovers the genocide of his people.
Yep.
At the Battle of the Northern Water Tribe.
Okay.
When he's forced by the Earth King to save Katara.
Okay.
When fighting Azula and Zuko in the Earth King Undercity. Uh-huh. And then when fighting Fire Lord King Ozai.
Also when he's in training to like master the Avatar state. I don't know if that counts because like he's in it, but like he's not fighting in it.
So according to the Avatar fandom Wikipedia, during the course of the first series, he went into the Avatar state 9 times.
What?
Oh, all right. We can do some deep dive. I'm also curious if when he broke out of the ice, if that was considered going into the Avatar state, which right, it might have been. Was
in, right.
That was one I would have counted immediately.
Because there's one when it's a flashback to Legend of Korra, which I didn't count, where he energy bends somebody's powers away. I'm also curious, we're going to have to do a deep dive here, because yeah. I think the very final battle with King Ozai, he goes in twice. When he forms all of his powers, and then once when he pulls the powers away from Ozai.
He does, yes.
Okay.
Some people say that when he was hit by lightning with Azula, like he attempted to go into the Avatar state, but it didn't count.
So I'm going to read off what they've got here, and then you guys make a decision. So Aang entered the Avatar state to save himself and Appa from drowning after their fall into the ocean. So Aang would remain in the Avatar state until he was released from the iceberg around 100 years later. After that, Aang entered the Avatar state to escape another fall into the ocean and to stop Zuko. He waterbent a waterspout in the form of a twister. Aang later entered the Avatar state after witnessing the skeleton of his former mentor. In his anguish-induced state, he generated hurricane force winds. And then when he met Avatar Ruko in the Fire Temple.
I was wondering about that one, yeah.
All right, I'm currently watching, and every time Aang enters the Avatar state, and he clearly enters the Avatar state the first time he comes out of the ice block.
So the Wikipedia says he remained in the Avatar state. He went into the Avatar state when he created the ice block, and he stayed there.
Oh, interesting.
That's the way they have it characterized. Monk Gyatso and he were to be separated, saving Sokka and a fisherman. Siege of the North, after the waterbenders were rendered powerless.
Yeah.
General Fong earthbending to bury Katara. Infuriated at a group of sandbenders for kidnapping Appa.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that one. Yeah.
Battling in Ba Sing Se when Azula struck him with lightning. When he was fighting Phoenix King Ozai at the same spot where Azula struck him with lightning. Then he has a confrontation with Fire Lord Zuko over Yung Dao. Once more, stop the Earth King and the Fire Lords this field later. Avatar state three times during his battle with General Old Iron. Just during the refinery. Third time to save Toph. And entered the Avatar state at the end of his battle with Liling in Cranefish Town to remove her bending. And Aang entered the Avatar. Yeah, that's what I thought. This feels later.
Yeah.
They said in the original series, according to them in the original series, so this is their language. I'm just reading it. Aang ran into the continuous Avatar state nine times during the course of the first series and once into the non-continuous state. I don't know what the non-continuous state versus continuous is, but that's their language.
No, I don't
I'm
know
not winning
do.
On this question, so...
No, I know. The underwater
come
one.
Down to between Mark and I, though. Because I got, 8 points so far
guys,
in this round?
I have a question. Guys, I have an important question.
Sure.
What is the Avatar state?
You're not helping your case, Mark.
I'm just picking a number
battle,
that was your number. That's my...
Was the battle at the Northern Water Tribe, was that when he attacked the giant fish thing? The giant water, like, huge...
Yeah.
He didn't attack. He was that.
He created that. So, like, that was one of the few, like, if I could just think of ones off the top of my head, it was, like, when he's coming out of ice, I think of that one. You know, I think of when he's talking to Ruko when he's training...
Also, Ryan, I gotta know, like, is this gonna make me win or Mark win? Is it, like, down to that wire? Or is Mark just gonna win no matter what by, like, one?
Depends. Could get crazy.
Let's get crazy.
It might be a tiebreaker.
I want a tiebreaker to create this up.
Well, so, before this question, before the final question, the scores are myself with 8, Rachel with 9, and Stu and Mark tied at 10.
Oh, man. Great.
It's up to you. Do you want to discard this question for a tiebreaker?
I think that's fair.
I think that's
because,
fair.
Like,
all right.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would probably have to rebuke my own answer and give it to Stu, but I think we can do a tiebreaker.
Let's do a tiebreaker. That's more fun.
All right, give me a second.
He has to crack. He has to, like, turn the keys. Tiebreaker box.
You hear also, like, locks from a trunk flip open.
Yeah, he has to punch in the nuclear launch codes.
I do have a 7th one. I couldn't turn it into a proper question, but we could do. Can you guess this is just for fun. We'll get to an actual tiebreaker, but can you guess the 6 animals and their colors if you want to the teams of the Legend of the Hidden Temple?
Oh yes, I would love to do that.
Should I give you the colors and you give me the animals?
That.
All right. There's red, blue, green, orange, purple, and silver.
Okay,
green. 6 animals.
Okay. Oh, red, blue, orange, you said?
Red, blue, green, orange, purple, and silver.
Silver monkeys?
No, the main puzzle that they put together.
That's why I get confused. Silver so monkey. It's like silver snakes then, right?
Silver snakes.
Yeah, green.
Wait, is this the tiebreaker?
No.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Told you it's not like, it. I had a seventh question that I couldn't fully turn into a question.
Green is it green iguanas?
No, but iguanas is one of them.
Orange iguanas?
Orange iguanas.
Yeah, it's easier to actually just think of them. I don't remember the rest, I don't think.
Blue is the easiest one for me. I always remembered the blue barracudas.
Blue barracudas. Green. What the hell are the green?
Green panthers.
Do you want to know my thought process, Ryan, as you were saying the question?
What?
There were teams. They had colors.
Yeah, The Legend of the Hidden Temple is like the greatest show ever to exist, and I'm surprised they haven't brought it back. And Olmec was the like god thing that ran the temple and made the children do his bidding, basically.
Yeah.
And Kirk Fogg, who is the host.
Are you looking this up, or do you know all that?
I remember Kirk Fogg, and I remember Olmec.
Jeez. But you don't remember the blue barracudas?
I don't remember the blue barracudas. I remember putting the colors to the animals, but I think I remember the animals besides barracudas. There are monkeys, iguanas, snakes. I assume it's purple parrots.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know red.
The red jaguars.
Red panther.
Why aren't they like orange? It makes sense.
Because the iguanas were orange.
Yeah.
Why are the iguanas orange? They're like green.
And then they'd win like an answering machine. They were in the weirdest like 90s.
yeah. The gifts that they would give, or like in Double Dare, it would be like
printer.
Yeah, it's like if you make it through the slime slide and through the picking the nose machine, you could win. What are they gonna win? It's like a pair of inline skates.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay, so let's see. I have three categories. You two decide amongst yourselves whether you want to do one, two, or three. It's for all the marbles.
Oh, so we have to mean to have to pick a number?
Yeah, it's like Prisoner's Dilemma, except for not.
Okay, which one do we not want to do? Probably one.
We don't want to do one, so yeah. It's between two and three. I like two because it rhymes with stew.
I was going to say two sounds pretty good. We meet in the middle, right?
Yeah.
Buddies.
Yeah. All right. Who's better than us?
No one.
All right. Well, you know how...
We have decided, as a group, we have decided on the number two.
All right. You know how this works, so I'll give you a category with a bunch of items in it. What you have to do is give me, you guys have to go back and forth coming up with answers. If you wait too long or you can't think of an answer or you repeat an answer, you will be out. The second listing is all of the names on the Dow Jones Stock Exchange, which represents by market cap the 30 largest companies.
I like this question.
As of 2020?
No, you don't need the ticker. You don't need the symbols. Okay,
thank
you
just God. Need the name. Okay, thank God. Okay.
It's the 20? You said 20 largest?
30.
30 largest companies. Okay.
30 largest companies traded.
Got it.
Make up the Dow Jones Industrial Average.
Got it.
Rachel, pick a number 1 through 50.
49 and a half.
You and the halves.
You have points. All right, Stu, go first.
Apple.
Apple's on there.
Google.
Uh-oh.
What is happening?
Ryan, where'd you go?
But hold on.
If Apple's on there and Google's not on there, then like that's not what?
Yeah. But okay.
Or would it have to be? Oh God, is it there?
Oh, it'd be Alphabet.
I'm double checking.
Can I rechange my name, my thing to Alphabet?
I was just saying, like, I would consider that would be okay. Come, like,
yeah, no one says Alphabet.
Let me double check that it's on there.
Okay.
You know what? I do not see Alphabet or Google because what? I think Google is on the NASDAQ.
Oh.
How is it not? All right. Congratulations, dude. That was fast.
Whoa.
Congratulations.
I'm going to give it to Stu, but do you want to keep going? Because
we
wasted a whole round.
I mean, let's go then, I guess.
You want to go again, Mark?
Sure. Walmart.
Walmart's on there.
That was going to be my guess. GE, General Electric.
GE's on there.
PEG, Procter & Gamble.
Procter & Gamble's on there.
GE isn't on the list I have.
I have GE on...
I have
this. Actually...
I'm watching the CNN.
This is a very problematic list. I feel like a lot of these lists... The other tiebreaker, and we have
pretty sure GE used to be on there. It's on this website, The Motley Fool. Joke's on me for going to fool.com to look at Jones, but I think Dow Jones got replaced a couple years ago with... I don't know which one of you said GE.
I did.
You did. All right. In this fake game now we're playing, you both have minus one.
Are we still going?
Yeah, sure.
Microsoft.
Microsoft's on there.
That was going to be my guess next. Facebook. Or is that NASDAQ?
Nope.
Facebook is not on the Dow Jones.
I'm pretty tired of this game. I'll say McDonald's.
McDonald's is on there. A couple other notables would have been 3M, American Express, Boeing, Chevron, Coca-Cola, the Walt Disney Company, ExxonMobil,
Disney,
Home Depot, Intel, IBM, Johnson & Johnson, JP Morgan, Nike, United,
Pfizer.
Visor, Verizon, Visa.
I like that 3M's stock ticker is 3M's.
3M.
You get it.
Clever.
Sure.
Well, congrats, Stu. Big win.
Thank you.
Contentious, if anything, but...
Yeah.
Do you feel vindicated? You won a tiebreaker. You did not create it up.
You know what's crazy? You won... having been in the fort through halftime.
Yeah.
I know.
I know. Like, I was going to say, like,
this is truly a Cinderella story.
I know sports ball references mean nothing to this group, but this is truly a Patriots over the Falcons scenario.
This is that one hockey game. This is that one hockey game where that guy said, "Do you believe in miracles?"
Oh.
And then they said, "Quack." Quack.
Quack. Quack.
It's like the excitement when you're getting really bored at a sports game. Your friends say, "I'd like to leave. Would you like to go get food?"
So let's get our skates on and do a flying V.
That'll be 2 minutes for roping. All right. Let's get to some picks where each episode, a couple of us give a game, a movie, an experience, or something cool like that we recommend you check out. And Stu, today you have a pick.
I do. Today, my pick is, it's not a co-op game. It is a single-player indie game for the Nintendo Switch. It's also on Steam.
That's okay, because the last few times we've tried to play co-op games together, it also hasn't worked out.
It hasn't worked. But that's Nintendo's online has not worked properly. They gotta fix that. This game is called Bug Fables. If you've ever played the original or the Thousand Year Door Paper Mario game, it is a homage to that. It's an RPG with a very stylized graphics where everything feels like it's, you know, made out of paper, essentially. It looks adorable. You follow these three bugs together that form a party, and you go on various adventures. There's a couple of like side quests that you can do throughout the whole thing. You're mainly trying to look for these artifacts and kind of uncover this mystery about one of your party members. It is, there's a challenging like a challenge mode on it, which makes enemies that much harder. And I turned that on and I haven't turned it off yet. And it is actually really hard, which I found enjoyable. Part of the fun of Paper Mario and also Bug Fables is that there's a timing mechanic. So every time you go to attack, you have to do like either time your hits properly or like do a combination of buttons in order for your attack to be successful. And then you can also time a block so when enemies are attacking you, which, you know, it basically takes out, like, rather than just like, you know, hitting A through menus and stuff, you're very actively engaged with combat. And especially when you have the difficulty ramped up, it's tough. It's very, very tough. And I like it. Nice. Again, though, the game is, yeah, it's been a blast for me to play. I haven't had enough time to really play it yet, but for what I have done, it's been really, really enjoyable for me.
Cool. How much of a puzzle element is there?
Not terribly. Like, there's a little bit of overworld puzzles to where, like, you kind of sit there and you have to figure out exactly how you're going to do something. But like, as far as difficulty with it, it's not hard. You just have to like think about it for a moment.
Gotcha. I really like the art style.
The art style is
cell shaded, sort of, but in a very like simple cartoony way.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's right. And the game is actually very small size wise for what it is. I think it's less than a gig considering that it's you know, a full RPG. Definitely worth checking out. Like I said, it's been a blast for me. I really enjoy just being engaged. The combat is fun, like actually actively fun. And, you know, when you level up, your rewards are not anything that's massive at all. It's not like, oh, everybody gets 10 more health. You get one health extra. It's challenging. It's actually very challenging, but I like that as it is. Nice.
That's Bug Fables, The Everlasting Sapling. Which is a great subtitle. I see. So you're playing it on Switch. I see that it's basically on everything: Steam, PS4, Xbox.
It is. Yeah. It's everywhere. I mean, I think it's been out on Steam for quite a while now, but the Switch port came out, which is why I was introduced to it.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Bug Fables. I have a pick. Mine's very different from a game. It is. We're in the midst of summer and it's hot outside, so I thought lovely tea would be nice. Ooh. It's Chicago. It's
hot. Can you put ice in that tea, though?
You could. This is one of my favorite. It's actually a caffeine-free. It's actually an herbal tea. I don't think there's any actual tea in it, but this is from the company Reishi, which by everything I can tell in my experience is pretty much the best/only tea I would really try to buy from like a store, because it's actually really good quality. Like there's actual tea in it. Whereas like most Lipton tea bags you buy is just like dust shavings that are put into a bag. This is one of my favorite teas. It is the turmeric ginger herbal tea. And, it's really, really delicious. And, I like it. I'll make it in like a big batch of like a quart, and I'll put it in the fridge because it works really well iced or cooled, and it's really good because there's no actual tea in it. It doesn't get bitter, or it doesn't, you know, like get too stringent. It actually, to me, tastes better the longer it steeps. Nice. And I really like drinking it. It's really good, especially in the summer. It's nice to have cold. It's very ginger, turmeric, kind of like a licorice-y taste, some like lemongrass and citrus. It's very tasty. It's actually kind of a good replacement cold for like a beer or something, because it has that sort of just a little bit of like a zesty, stringent kind of taste to it, but it almost has like the turmeric and ginger gives it kind of its own sweetness, although there's no sugar in it. It's really, really good. And you know, turmeric and ginger and stuff is generally said to be very good for you. And it's really, really good. So I'll put in like a bunch of it and just kind of have like a quart of it and save it for a day or two and drink it, just whatever. It's also, you know, really good hot and stuff like that too. But you can buy it on Reishi's website, up to a pound of it, which is really good. It's like, it's about $30, but I've had a bag that's lasted me like almost a year.
So it's really good. It's Rishi's turmeric ginger herbal tea, and I think it's great. I like drinking tea. I wish I was drinking more of it. I've been as addicted as I am to coffee. I like trying to drink good quality teas, and like I said, Rishi's probably about the best tea that you can buy, like kind of off the shelf somewhere, or you know, somewhere where you can get it at just about any store. But if you do it online, you can buy a giant pound of it for the stuff you really like.
So you're telling me a pound lasts you how long?
I mean, I don't drink it every day. I drink it definitely a lot more in the summer and stuff. I mean, you do like a scoop, which is probably 2 or 3 tablespoons of tea out of a pound of bag. So it lasts quite a while.
How do you spell
Rishi? For the record, you've had like the same bag for like 8 months.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you spell Rishi? Because there's also Rishi the mushroom tea.
Right, that's what I was thinking too.
That's a good point. Rishi is R-I-S-H-I, R-I-S-H-I-T-E-A.com.
Okay.
And it's really, really tasty. And,
I'm definitely going to have to get some of that. That sounds really good.
Yeah, a lot of their teas are really good. If you're new to tea and aren't super familiar like with oolong teas, are like much more stringent teas that you really have to be kind of careful of. I think herbal teas are, you know, a decent way into it, and like you really can't oversteep it. Like I said, I think it just tastes better the longer it's steeped. So yeah, this one's really, really good. But yeah, that's the end of the show. That's what I got, a bunch of tea. But thanks to thanks to everyone listening. If you have a pick, send it our way. Email us thingsigetwrong@gmail.com and check out the website and the Instagram and the Twitter and all that stuff. The next episode will be coming out around mid-August, so stay tuned for that. And thanks to the team here, Mark, Stu, and Rachel.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thanks, everybody.
Congrats to...
Thanks.
No an asterisks underdog on any wins here.
Total underdog.
That was a really nice job.
This is Nickelodeon.
There's going to be a Disney movie named after Stu one day.
Maybe.
I believe
that'd
it.
That'd be sweet.
But until then, until that movie, until the next podcast, we'll see you later.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.